for the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have David Ramil. He is the host of the Locked On Heat podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering Miami Heat content. He's also the featured columnist for the website The Step Back and a contributor at Forbes Sports. And he's also a member of the Pro Basketball Writers Association. On the program, we discuss the current happenings of the Miami Heat. Also, we talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Coach Eric Spoelstra, and also some magical moments in the history of the Miami Heat. David is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Breaking up is hard to do, but when it comes to your wireless carrier, you should have left a while ago. You're over the big three carriers. You deserve better. Xfinity Mobile. Now you can get unlimited with 5G included for just $30 a month on the nation's fastest, most reliable network. So break free from the big three and save with Xfinity Mobile.
Take the savings challenge at XfinityMobile.com/mysavings to see how much you can save when you get Xfinity Mobile and internet together. Reduce speeds at 20 gigabytes per line. Most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report. Results vary, not an endorsement.
If you've got a personal auto insurance question, you could talk to a cab driver, although the policies he recommends might include avoiding the interstate, beating traffic by taking the back roads, and only making left turns when absolutely necessary. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, whose policy is to use their expertise to navigate your insurance, finding the best route to help you save money on insurance for your home, car, and more. And as an added bonus, you'll be able to avoid traffic jams and potholes entirely. To find a GEICO agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Omaze gives...
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You the chance to win life-changing prizes and support amazing causes. Right now, you can enter for the chance to win a Mercedes-Benz 4x4 Sprinter van, complete with $80,000 worth of customizations from VanSmith. When you donate, you'll also be supporting Access Fund and their work protecting public lands. Enter by May 6th at omaze.com/winasprinter and use promo code SPRINTER50 for 50 extra entries. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit omaze.com/winasprinter for official rules.
Nya nya nya. Ba, ba, Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe. The broken Bunsen burner burns so bright. South,
Jamie.
Southeast Asian Peninsula.
Hey, Jamie.
Yes.
I think the only line we need from you today is drivers who switch to Progressive could say big.
Cool. I just got to finish my warm-ups.
foul. Throw in the towel.
History.
Switch to Progressive today.
Santa ski, slalom in a salmon skin suit.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, I'm taking it to the streets to give people the good news. Oh, excuse me, hello. I'm Flo from Progressive, and did you know...
No, I'm just waiting for the bus.
So then you have time to hear about how with HomeQuote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance.
Yeah, if I was interested in talking to you, which I'm not.
Okay, I'll do the talking, and you just check if you can be saving, which is going to be pretty hard to do if you put on your headphones. Okay.
See if you're paying too much for home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
It's okay if you aren't sure how to pronounce Arabica beans. And it's okay if you don't even know what premium roast means. When you order your coffee from McDonald's, you just need to know how to drink it.
Try for yourself a $1 any size premium roast coffee paired with a savory $1 sausage McMuffin. In a hurry? Order on our app and pick up curbside. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. The Freddie Mac Multifamily Podcast brings together industry leaders to talk through current issues and important housing trends. Hear from our hosts and their expert guests by searching Freddie Mac Multifamily wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. The Miami Heat are making some noise in the Eastern Conference, and they're trying to get a playoff spot. They may be able to get in the play-in tournament. We're going to talk more about the Miami Heat, someone that covers the Heat on a daily basis. Let's welcome him. He is the host of the Locked On Heat podcast, the podcast which is dedicated to all things concerning the Miami Heat, and also a featured columnist on a cool website called The Step Back, and also a contributor to Forbes. Let's welcome him to the program, David Ramil. Did I pronounce your last name correctly, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Let's welcome David Ramil to the from the Locked On Heat podcast. Welcome to the program, sir.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Same here. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's jump right to it. Miami, they've done very well. They did very well in the month of April. They had a record of 9-6, and their last game, they lost a close win to the Dallas Mavericks, but Duncan Robinson did very well. He was one of the leading scorers. He had 19 points. But, David, this has been an interesting year for Miami. Last year was the bubble, condensed season, and Miami was able to win the Eastern Conference, surprisingly, and play in the NBA Finals. I got to ask you, what has been the biggest differences, in your opinion, from this year's team as opposed to last year's team?
Well, there were some roster changes, obviously. They lost Derek Jones Jr. They lost Jay Crowder. Myers Leonard was no longer in the starting lineup. So things were different, and I think other teams were a little bit more prepared at the start of the season for what Miami was going to do because they had seen it during the bubble. They had seen it for most of last regular season, and so they knew what version of this team they were going to be facing on a night-to-night basis. And I also think that with Miami having lost the finals, there wasn't that kind of emotional boost that the Lakers were able to enjoy earlier in the season. The Lakers made some changes to their roster. They had just won the championship. So there's a little bit more positive emotions to help carry them through the difficulties of this very short offseason. So not only did they go through the mental exhaustion of being in the Orlando bubble for as long as they were, but they wound up falling short. They didn't get the finals. They didn't get the championship. So there was nothing that was a final reward for their incredible level of play. And then to go through a short offseason where they didn't make substantial changes to their roster, rather they just lost a couple of key players. They bring in Mo Harkless. That doesn't work out. They didn't exactly change the roster in a positive way. And given all that, there wasn't enough time for young players like Precious Achiuwa or Tyler Hero to take another level in their development. Then Jimmy gets hurt. After that, he winds up struggling with health and safety protocols. He misses about 3 weeks of action. And so the team never really has any chance at consistency. And that's been the theme all season long. They just haven't been able to establish any kind of clear and consistent identity at any point this year. And while they're trending in a positive way towards the end of the season, they just haven't been able to really establish anything very consistently. So I'm not very sure what version of the team will get moving forward. I have my thoughts and opinions on the subject, but nothing that we've seen over the course of the past 70 games or 60-something games really gives me any kind of strong inclination as to what we're going to see from this team.
All right, let's stay with players for a moment because, David, you mentioned a lot of the players that were on that finals team last year, and a lot of them moved on, whether it be through trades or free agency. But I want to talk about Victor Oladipo. What would you make of his presence thus far with the Heat?
Well, I think it's a positive one. I don't know that we'll ever get the version of Victor Oladipo that we saw a few years ago before the injuries started piling up. You know, that was an exciting, explosive scorer and incredible defender. And unfortunately, the explosiveness is gone. So he's not quite the scorer he once was. We start to see positive things here and there. They're really great games followed up by really bad games. But as a defender, he's excellent, and I think he still fits exactly well what Miami's looking to do as far as their switching defense, his ability to intercept passes, break up passing lanes, and things of that sort. He fits in very well with what Miami does. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that we're going to see him for the rest of the season because he's looking into free agency, and that's such a huge concern for him because he wants to get paid. Right now, the amount that he's going to get paid is less than he ever expected it to be. But if he goes out there again in a couple weeks for the postseason run and he gets hurt again, then those chances of getting paid are almost completely squashed. So he has to be very careful in considering whether or not he makes a return for the Heat this season.
All right, fair enough. And speaking of impact players, again, last year when the Heat played in the finals, Duncan Robinson, he came out of nowhere. Duncan Robinson was phenomenal in the bubble last year, and he showed some signs of like, wow, this guy is really the real McCoy. And I'm looking at his stats here. So far, he has averaged 13 points per game this year, and he's shooting at the moment 40% from three-point range this season. David, you talk about coming down the stretch and getting ready for that possible postseason run that Miami is embarking on. How important has Duncan been to the Heat this year, and how important will he be going forward?
Oh, he's of utmost importance. I mean, obviously, the offense runs through Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler is an incredible individual scorer that can take over games. But the offense most often runs when it's running through Duncan, in the sense that they're trying to get him going early on and often throughout the game. They have that two-man game with Bam Adebayo where they do the dribble handoffs, where they're constantly looking for each other there to get Duncan and his shot going. And when Duncan's offense is flowing, it makes things easier for everybody else, to the point that, however, if they're able to defend Duncan or limit what he can do where he's just having a bad shooting night, then all of a sudden Miami's offense just looks really, really stagnant. So I think it's a regular season thing where they kind of rely very heavily on Duncan Robinson. I'm sure that they'll continue to do it in the playoffs, but we've already seen that when the Duncan Robinson impact is minimized, we've seen that Jimmy Butler or Bam or even Goran Dragic can take over games and provide the scoring punch that Miami so desperately needs at times. So he's an incredible player, one of the best shooters in the NBA, certainly, but sometimes Miami's offense can get bogged down because they rely on him so heavily.
Okay, and then speaking of another impact player from the bubble last year was Tyler Hero. Man, what a postseason run that he had last year. This year, he's averaging close to 15 points a game. The three-point percentage is not there this year. He's shooting at the moment only at 34%. He's had some flashes. He's had his moments this year. Now, David, you mentioned, of course, we had the shortened offseason, and there wasn't enough time for young players to really develop. How would you make of Tyler's 2020-21 campaign so far?
Disappointing, I think, and I don't think anybody else thinks that more than he does. I know there's been a lot of pressure on him because he heard his name mentioned early and often throughout the season, including potential trades for this player or that player, and none of it panned out. But I think he got a little bit of a boost of confidence once the trade deadline passed and Miami had decided not to include him in the deal for either, you know, Kyle Lowry or somebody else. So for him, it just hasn't kind of not been the kind of same season where he just hasn't been able to, again, be consistent. He hasn't been able to incorporate anything different into his game. And unfortunately for Tyler, he's not a superior athlete. So he can't rely on any kind of explosiveness or athleticism to overpower any kind of opponents or defenders. He has to find a way to kind of find a seam in the defense to get his shot going. And unfortunately, he's also got a lot of pressure on himself, which is why I don't think that three-point shot has been falling with the same kind of regularity it did last year. But if we've seen anything from Tyler over the course of his year and a half in the NBA, it's that he lives for those big moments. Eric Spoelstra is fond of saying that Tyler is one of the few players on this roster that really loves having to be called upon in the clutch. So I expect that if there's a need for a big shot down the stretch, Tyler will certainly be out on the floor, but he's also had nagging injury issues. He's had a recurrence with COVID. You know, he's been out of the lineup for health and safety protocols, and so it's been difficult for him to get any kind of continuity. And, you know, obviously the experiment wasn't working out either when he was a starter early in the season, and they realized quickly that this team was going to be much more effective with him coming off the bench. So I think that's where his best role is, as a guy who can come off the bench as a reserve, who can provide instant scoring. And hopefully he'll be able to tie some things together so that he can show a little bit more of that kind of consistent scoring punch that he provided in the Orlando bubble.
Okay, and then now another player you mentioned, David, about the trade deadline, and Miami was able to land Trevor Ariza in around the trade deadline, coming over from Oklahoma City. We know Trevor has been known for his solid shooting and his solid defense. He always makes a big difference no matter where he's played in his long NBA career. What intangibles, David, in your opinion, does Trevor Ariza bring to the table in terms of Miami's making a solid run towards the end of the regular season and making that postseason run?
Well, certainly his championship level of experience. He's been through so much over the course of his career. He knows how to fit in well. He's a veteran presence. You don't need to explain much to him. He's seen it all and done it all over the course of his career. So he just fits in right away. In that sense, he's a very, very similar type player to what they got out of Jay Crowder last year, who wound up becoming an incredible shooter, a really good defender, and allowing Eric Spoelstra to tinker with his lineups very differently. And I think Ariza does a lot of the same things too, where you've seen him be effective on defense. You've seen him kind of spot out on the three-point line and knock down some of the shots. He was very good against the Dallas Mavericks. Unfortunately, that was a wasted performance because he didn't seal the victory. But overall, I think we're starting to see more and more shades of that from Ariza. He's getting more into Miami Heat levels of conditioning and shape, where he just fits a lot better. He's been cutting to the basket a lot more. So there's all these little things that he does well offensively, but defensively I think that's where his biggest boost will be, because he's such a long body. He's switchable. He's a guy who can guard, you know, 2 through 5 more or less. He can put him on a smaller center and he'll hold his own. He can guard ball handlers down the perimeter. And that's kind of what you're hoping for in Miami's defense, because they switch so often that they're relying on guys like him and Bam and Jimmy Butler, who can kind of move around quickly and pick up the slack for others, because you've got guys like Goran Dragic or Duncan Robinson who aren't necessarily the best defenders, so you need to kind of make up for those gaps by having quality defenders like Ariza, Butler, and Adebayo.
All right, well, speaking of a tried-and-true veteran, as you mentioned, with Trevor Ariza, Goran Dragic, man, Goran has been really been outstanding since he's been in the league, and he's really paid off big dividends since being a member of the Miami Heat. Man, David, I'll go off the cuff and just say this. I think if Goran would have been healthy that whole finals series last year, the series would have gone 7. I don't know if the Heat would have won it necessarily, but I think it would have made a big difference, and we would have saw a 7-game series. It was really terrible that when Goran suffered that hamstring injury, but nevertheless, he's been back in a rare form this year, back to his usual self. And just kind of give me your thoughts on Goran's performance throughout the course of this season.
Well, I'll go one further and say that if Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo had been healthy, they would have won the finals. I really do believe that. I think the way that Dragic had been playing through most of the playoffs, absolutely Miami would have found a way to beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Of that, I have no doubt. But as far as this season is concerned, look, he's 35, he's older, he's trying to find his way back into form. It's been difficult for him, but it hasn't been great. He's missed time too, not just because of injury, but also because of health and safety protocols. And he's noticeably a step slower. At least he was earlier in the season. Now slowly, he's been talking about it a lot, where he's kind of got his legs back. He's rounding back into shape and starting to feel comfortable. Like, he's got the timing of the season down pat, where he understands that now the playoffs are just a few weeks away, and he's getting ready for it. And you can see a noticeable improvement physically. And so, to me, he becomes, not alongside Duncan, probably Miami's biggest X factor, because you know what you're getting out of Bam and Jimmy. You can hope that you're getting a good shooting night from Duncan Robinson, but you need somebody else to kind of provide a surprise scoring punch. And if it's probably not going to be Tyler Hero, then you can get that from Goran Dragic, the same way you did in the playoffs last year. And that throws teams off completely, because now you're not sure who to guard. You can't exactly sag off of Duncan Robinson because he's such a dangerous shooter. You can't layoff of Bam or Jimmy Butler because, you know, they're proven guys who can get to the rim and can score at will. So all of a sudden, if you have Goran Dragic throwing everything off kilter, that makes defenders so much more – it makes it almost impossible to guard Miami. So that's why he's such an important factor for the Heat moving forward. I'm confident that he's going to have another level to reach in the playoffs, but you never know, given his age and injury and everything else. You hope that he doesn't re-aggravate the injury, but for the most part, if he's able to stay healthy, I think he'll be a consistent 15 to 20 points per game scorer and a guy who can provide much-needed scoring from the perimeter as well.
All right, and speaking of giving up the team an extra confidence boost, Jimmy Butler – oh, man, Jimmy Butler's been one heck of a player since he's played, since he's been in the NBA, from Chicago to Oklahoma City and the one season in Philly and now with the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler had one heck of a postseason in the bubble last year, and what a finals run that he had coming up a little short, but he definitely, you know, pushed the Heat and definitely gave him the will to win despite the injuries to Goran and, of course, to Bam. Just kind of give me your thoughts on Jimmy, what he's done this year and his career with his time with Miami going forward.
I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. Eric Spoelstra recently talked about that in his opinion, Jimmy would be an MVP candidate if not for the fact that this is an irregular season. If they were playing a full 82 games and if Jimmy had been healthy during that 3-week stretch, there'd be no doubt that he'd be a top five MVP candidate, at least in Spoelstra's opinion. I'm not so sure I'm there yet, but I will say that Jimmy is a phenomenal player. He does everything well. You know, obviously he's not a great perimeter shooter, but that's the one weakness in his game. Other than that, defensively he's phenomenal. He's you know, leading the league in steals. He guards 1 through 5. He accepts any challenges. And offensively, he can get his shot off better than anybody else on the team. And he just knows how to score. He can find ways to penetrate a defense. He can get to the line, which is so vital. We saw this in the Dallas Mavericks loss just a couple of days ago, where Miami just couldn't handle the pace of the game. When all of a sudden Luka Doncic is hitting these three-pointers from 28 feet away, they need somebody to slow things down, to control the pace back in Miami's favor. That's what Jimmy does better than anybody. And he gets to the line almost at will. He draws contact so easily. And that's a quick, easy way to get a couple of, you know, points from the free-throw line and to also slow things down and keep the opponents from racking up the scoreboard there. And I expect him to be able to do the same thing that he did in the playoffs last year, this season as well. He said it. He said, just get me into the playoffs and don't worry about it. I'll take care of the rest. And I believe that with Miami, regardless of the fact of wherever they fall into the seeding in the Eastern Conference, with Jimmy on their roster, they have a very good chance of upsetting any of the top teams in the East.
I want to stay with Jimmy for a moment. You know, since Jimmy has arrived in Miami, he's only been with the team for about a couple of seasons. But do you compare his game to Dwayne Wade, or do you think D. Wade was more explosive than Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, I think certainly Dwayne was more explosive than Jimmy. It was very different. Mm-hmm. I think the way they approach the game. Now, I will say both of them are great at drawing contact and getting to the foul line, but not quite the same. Like, Jimmy's older. It's hard to make that kind of comparison, very apples to oranges. But Jimmy's still very effective, and you know, that's the thing, too. I would love for him to be able to incorporate more of a perimeter shot as he continues to age, because I think that will help his game immensely. Getting all that kind of contact and drawing all those fouls is just going to add more injury to his career, so we don't necessarily want to see a lesser version of Jimmy than what we're seeing right now if he's beat up and constantly injured. But he just seems to want to play that way. Like, he just, you know, takes comfort in being able to bully ball his way to the basket. So I wonder if that's just with his style, what he feels most comfortable doing. So it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of his career progresses. But I don't see the comparison to Dwayne necessarily, if not and just in the same way that both of them are stars and know how to take over games. Like, we saw it with Dwayne, where there were moments defensively where he could take over a game as well as he could offensively. And we see that from Jimmy, too.
All right, fair enough. And again, just wanted to mention to the listeners out there, Jimmy spent time not just with the Bulls and the 76ers, but he also spent a season with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, speaking of stars in the making, we saw a star in the making in the bubble last year with Bam Adebayo. And man, with his inside presence, his strong presence in the paint, rebounding, for doing the dirty work. And as you mentioned, David, if not for the injuries to Goran Dragic and also to Bam Adebayo, the Heat may have had a chance to win the NBA crown. I mean, Bam provided the presence in the paint with the rebounds, doing a solid defense. He really came out of nowhere last year. Just kind of give me your thoughts on Bam's season this year and his future in Miami.
Well, I think both of them have been excellent. As the season has progressed, he's been as good as advertised. He's made progress offensively. He's become more confident in his outside shot, which I think is something that is the next step of evolution for him, not just being consistent from 18 to 20 feet, but going beyond the three-point line as well. And I think that we're going to see that within the next couple of years. There's been a lot of frustration from Heat fans because he's not a 25 points per game scorer. He doesn't, you know, explode for 30 points on any given night, but he's still only 23. Like, we forget how young he is. This is only his second season as a starter, and he's made progress already. I think he's going to continue to grow and evolve, and he makes so much of what Miami does, both offensively and defensively, happen because he's just so good on both sides. Offensively, he's such a great playmaker at his position, probably the second-best passer as a center to Nikola Jokic, who's being compared to. He's going to be the shoo-in for the MVP award. That's pretty good company to keep. Defensively, he's as good as any player out there. Like, there is a legitimate case for him to be considered for the Defensive Player of the Year because what he does so effectively is guard everybody on the floor. Whether you're Steph Curry or Joel Embiid or anybody in between, Bam has the ability to move his feet, to adjust, to use his athleticism and strength to compensate whatever he can do offensively, which is what makes him such a great defender. He's always in good position. He always knows how to move well. And he's just exceptional. One of the best defenders in the game today, and somebody who probably doesn't get enough credit for what he can do defensively. In the future, I don't see his defense taking a step down offensively. I think we're just going to see more and more progression from him as a confident go-to scorer that can shoot from the perimeter and have more of a back-to-the-basket game, too, because he's not very effective when he's trying to post up. He's finally started to learn how to post up smaller guards when they switch on to him, and he's been more effective in that regard. But I think he's going to have to do it much more consistently before we can say, okay, throw the ball to Bam, let him do work, and we know he's going to get a bucket out of it because he's just not there yet, but he can be.
Yeah, he's definitely so underrated. A lot of people don't really mention his name when it comes to the big men in the NBA. And Bam Adebayo, definitely a presence scoring in the paint. And, of course, his defense is just through the roof, like you said, David. Now, as this interview is airing, David, Miami is currently – for the moment, they're in the seventh spot. So they're two games behind New York and Atlanta. Is there any possible chance, do you see a chance, David, that Miami could maybe take the sixth spot from Boston or maybe even take the fifth spot from Atlanta or maybe sneak in and take the fourth spot from New York?
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot can change over the course of the next six or seven games. I mean, all those teams are right in the thick of things, and we see this change daily. Miami was in the fifth spot a couple days ago, and then they dropped to seventh, and you know, one loss can make all the difference. The Knicks are in a West Coast road trip where they're taking on both Los Angeles teams. They're taking on the Phoenix Suns, too. It's a tough, daunting challenge for them, and while the Knicks are a pretty solid team, especially defensively, you know, those are tough teams to beat who are trying to fight for their own things as well. You know, the Lakers are just trying to make the playoffs. They can't afford to lose a game to the New York Knicks. So the Knicks could drop out of it completely. While they're currently the fourth seed, they could wind up being in the play-in tournament by the time the season is done. Miami, conversely, can go up, and as long as they have two games against the Boston Celtics, which is a huge series, and that could define everything as far as the Eastern Conference standings are concerned. If they lose both of them, then Miami will be in the play-in tournament or possibly out of the tournament completely. If they beat Boston twice, then, you know, then things are switched around too. So the Hawks have been very hot as well. I mean, they've been a great team over the last few weeks. They've got a lot of great performances from their roster, and despite some injury issues and things of that sort. So I'm surprised to see them kind of staying steady there in the standings. But all of those teams have been very good and capable of just dropping from out of nowhere, too, because everything could change almost on a nightly basis.
So let's say, for instance, David, if Miami doesn't get either that fourth, that fifth, or that sixth spot, how do you like their chances in the play-in tournament if they happen to fall in that scenario?
Well, like I said, I think when you have a team with Jimmy Butler, when he is aware of what's on the line, you're going to get a great performance from him. So I think – you know, you look back to what he was able to do in the finals when there was no chance that Miami was going to win because they were missing Bam and Goran, and Jimmy single-handedly willed those teams to victory. And I think he's capable. You only have to win one just to be able to lock in the seventh seed. You know, let's say Miami drops to seventh or eighth. If they win that game, they'll be the seventh or eighth seed. Then they'll be able to win that first game in the play-in tournament, and then they'll be crowned the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference standings when it's all said and done. And then the eighth seed will have to fight whoever wins the 9-10 game. So I like their chances. I think they have a very good opportunity to not just avoid the play-in tournament, but should they wind up dropping into the play-in tournament, they'll find a way to win the one game in order to stay into the playoff chase. And again, I still think that they could knock off any of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. You look at the Sixers, Nets, and Bucks, and while they may have more talent on paper, I think Miami has a better team. They've got better defense. I think they can do more things through Bam and Jimmy, and I think they have another level to reach. So we'll see what happens. It should be an interesting playoff race.
Indeed, it's going to be an interesting playoff race. We know, David, in the Western Conference, it's competitive and it's tough. And it's just so much talent to go around in the Western Conference. But in the Eastern Conference this year, it's been Milwaukee, it's been Philadelphia, and, of course, the three-headed monster in Brooklyn with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. How confident are people are saying that maybe Brooklyn or Philly could come out, could possibly win the East? But, again, you mentioned about not just Jimmy Butler, but with the Miami Heat giving a good fight and being very competitive. What are the chances that you see Miami maybe giving Brooklyn or even Philadelphia a run for their money to play in the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's going to be a tough road regardless, but I like their chances, to be honest with you. I feel like they have a mental edge over an unproven team like Philadelphia, who still lacks a lot of quality playoff experience. You're relying on guys like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who are great during the course of the regular season, but unfortunately just haven't been able to go deep into the playoffs for their respective careers. Now they bring in some veterans like Danny Green, who have championship experience of their own, so maybe that changes things a little bit. Danny Green isn't quite the kind of role player that's going to carry Philadelphia to the next level. While he can provide some veteran mentorship and leadership, it's not going to be enough. You need your big performances from your big players. And that's what Jimmy and Bam do. So I like their chances against those teams. Brooklyn has obviously much more talent, and they've got three very, very good scorers in Durant, Harden, and Irving. But their health is a huge concern. It could change from one game to the next. They don't have a lot of consistency in playing together because – they've been so unhealthy for most of the season, and obviously they didn't swing the trade for Harden until later on once the season had already started. So they just haven't had a chance to gel yet. This might not be their season. They've also got a first-year coach in Steve Nash who has never had to go through the act of adjusting on the fly and making in-series adjustments, something that Eric Spoelstra has done better than anybody over the course of his career too. So Milwaukee, similarly, as good as they've been, and I think this is a better version of this team than they were last year. But, you know, Mike Budenholzer hasn't exactly been the best coach at making changes during the playoffs. And we're not quite sure how they're going to respond, the players themselves, whether or not we're going to see Chris Middleton become the all-star player, whether or not Drew Holiday is going to be able to step up. And this is a guy who, as good as his career has been, he's never really made the playoffs, and I don't know that that's going to change. I mean, obviously, he's going to make the playoffs this year, but what are we going to see out of Holiday that's going to give the Bucks a chance of upsetting the Miami Heat or any of the other teams in the Eastern Conference? So there's a lot of questions about the top teams in the East. Miami, to me, even though they've been inconsistent, I think we know what we're going to get out of them. We know what we're going to get out of their top two players, and the X factors are more about guys like Duncan and Goran, like I said before, the guys that are going to have to find a way to step up to supplement and complement what Jimmy and Bam can do.
You mentioned about the coaches, and you mentioned about Mike Budenholzer being the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks and Steve Nash being the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra has been a proven champion, and he continues to be a proven champion, especially his coaching abilities really were put to the test in the bubble last year and going up against the Lakers and things of that nature. We really saw Eric Spoelstra really shine. He shined throughout his career, even in the days as a video coordinator. What has made Coach Spoelstra so special during his time with the Miami Heat?
Well, his ability to connect with players, it's about the system, the stability, and his belief in it. Like, he pushes everybody to reach another level, and they see his own dedication and his work ethic and the fact that he's a grinder himself who's built his career from the bowels of the American Airlines Arena as a video coordinator, and I think that shows in his coaching as well. It's such a great system for getting the most out of players, where whether you're an undrafted rookie like Duncan Robinson or an older veteran, you'll find a way to contribute. You'll find a way to get the most out of yourself physically and to get the skills that you need in order to continue to thrive later in your career too. So it's been a great system. Spoelstra has been incredible at implementing and managing egos, managing the players, and just working with them to help them reach another level in their development. And it's all worked. I think because he buys into the system, everybody else does as well. They take their leadership from him. They see him as a shining example of how it could work and how he's been able to thrive in that role. And I think everybody's just guided by him. You know, the fact that he was able to coach three huge egos during the Big Three era in Miami, and then to work with guys like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson. We've seen so much from him. Goran Dragic loves Eric Spoelstra. I mean, so many of these players just really gravitate towards what Spo can do. And he's great at in-game adjustments too. X's and O's, he's as good as anybody. I think he can make those kind of in-series adjustments. And that's what's led to a lot of the success, which is why he was able to get the most of that team last year in the bubble. He was able to see what was going to change, you know, from a series to series, how players were going to be in and out of the lineup and how he could make adjustments to get the most out of his team. And it worked so well.
Speaking of head coaches and Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley. I mean, Pat Riley, definitely someone that has been very vital to that Miami Heat franchise, winning an NBA title with the Heat, and one of the greatest coaches of all time, coaching during the Showtime era with the Lakers and having some great success with the New York Knicks during the 90s. What's the relationship like between Pat and Eric, and how big of an influence has Pat been on Eric during his time with the Heat?
Well, he set the template. You know, I think when he joined the team in 1995, the biggest thing was about creating a culture, because before that, they'd gone through five different head coaches. They didn't really have a star player that could define the culture for this team. Pat Riley's first move as the head coach and general manager of the team, president of basketball operations, actually, was to be able to trade their star at that point, Glenn Rice, to Charlotte in exchange for Alonzo Mourning. And Alonzo, obviously a dedicated worker, a great defender. And at a different time when the big man, when the center position was much more necessary, Zoe was the future, and he helped define Miami's culture for such a long time during his career here. And I think Riley has been able to just continue that kind of stability, that dedication, the work ethic, and everything else that Miami Heat culture is all about. You know, I remember an interview I had with Solomon Hill last year when he had first joined the team, and what he told me how shocked he was that, you know, not just guys like the coaching staff or the front office personnel, but even ticket salespeople, you know, concession salespeople, they've been with his team for decades. Like, there was such consistency up and down the front office and throughout the whole team that he just couldn't believe it. And that's so rare in today's NBA. And so it's kind of just led from Riley, and then there's been this seamless transition to Eric Spoelstra, where he continues to mentor. You know, he's always there and available to Spo for guidance and advice. But those kind of requests have become less and less necessary, because Spo is now a proven commodity. He's a proven coach. He knows exactly what needs to be done. He's made the adjustments. He knows how to change and adapt in today's NBA, which is probably not what Riley is comfortable doing, because, you know, Riley coached during a much more different era. But, you know, he's always there. It's a strong father-son-like relationship, a great friendship as well, and I think it's going to continue to be a strong relationship throughout the rest of their continued tenure in Miami.
All right, fair enough. And again, David, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do as the host of the Locked On Heat podcast.
Well, you said it first. You know, I try to cover every game, present a recap, cover the latest news, rumors, mailbag questions. Anytime anybody has questions about the team or anything else like that, I try to answer those in a new episode. So try to just follow the podcast. You can always follow me on Twitter, again, at Locked On Heat, and make sure you get the latest updates. And, of course, I try to cover every game. So that's the best way. You can subscribe on Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, so many different outlets now. Wherever you get podcasts, you can always find the Locked On Heat podcast.
Awesome. And then also, you are a featured columnist for a website called The Step Back. Just tell everybody what you do over with The Step Back.
Well, my writing has taken a step back, no pun intended, but I don't write as much as I used to. But, you know, I used to when you know, before the pandemic days, when we had a lot more access to players and we could conduct interviews and things like that, I was, you know, I used to love writing features about all these players and just talking about their history and what their futures in the league are like and so many different great stories around the NBA. And I've just been lucky enough to be able to share some of them for my readers. But yeah, the Setback is a great team of incredible writers, and I'm just lucky to be a part of them as well. So, you know, occasionally I will contribute there, but not as much as I used to. I do some writing now for Forbes Sports, as you mentioned before, just kind of covering the business of basketball as well. You know, when they brought in COVID sniffing dogs, being the first team to actually implement that around the NBA, I was the guy who broke that story. So it's been such an interesting aspect to be able to cover the business side of basketball as well as what happens on the court too.
Awesome. And again, David, you mentioned that you're a contributor for Forbes Sports. You're covering the business side. And man, I tell you what, people really don't, a lot of people still don't understand that professional sports is such a business, man, just kind of like with the ins and outs of it and signing bonuses and things of that nature. So definitely something, definitely a different element to pay attention to in the world of professional sports. So again, David, let everybody know where they can find you on social media, as well as the Locked On Heat podcast and any websites you want to let them know about. Let them know that as well.
Well, I share all my writing on my personal Twitter profile at DRamil13. You can always follow me there. And all of my Heat-related content is always going to be at the Locked On Heat podcast Twitter feed. That's at Locked On Heat. I try to work both of those as much as I possibly can. But, yes, definitely follow both of those, and you'll get all of the access that you need about my writing and my latest episodes on Locked On Heat.
Awesome to hear. One last question before I let you go. You've covered the Heat for a long time. You've went through the Heatles era. You've also had the opportunity to cover the Flash era with Dwayne Wade. Also, you had the opportunity to cover the brief championship era with Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal, and also you've had an opportunity to see the Heat during the 90s with Alonzo Mourning and Glenn Rice and Tim Hardaway. In your opinion, what was the best era that you had the chance to cover during the history of the Miami Heat? It could be whether it be from a fan's perspective or from a journalist's perspective.
Nothing tops the Big Three era. Just so many exciting players, so many big names, big stories, every game just took on and added significance. I don't think anything tops that, to be honest with you. I do like this version of the current team, like even last year before the pandemic, being in the locker room and seeing the camaraderie and the chemistry there. It was very real. I knew that they were going to be a very good team in the playoffs even before the season came to an end in mid-March, because you could see all the chemistry building and everything else like that. So this has been a very fun team to cover, but nothing tops, you know, being able to talk with Dwayne, LeBron, and Chris Bosh in the locker room.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun era right there. A lot of great games right there. Well, you heard it from him. He is David Ramil. He is the host of the Locked On Heat podcast and also a contributor to the Step Back. And also he's a contributor to Forbes Sports, which he covers the business side of things for Forbes Sports. David, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Glad to be back on. And thank you so much for taking the time to host me on the show.
You're welcome, and we'll be back with more.
Timely cut by Dorian, though, that made that such an easy pass for Dorian. I'm sorry, for Mr. Powell. Duncan Robinson on fire himself.
Iguodala's back in. He started tonight with Jimmy Butler out. Cut to the basket. Around and around and down for Duncan Robinson. But they've had some empty possessions since.
Defense.
Green saves the ball in. It's off. None, but rolls to Robinson. Corner three, no. Dedmon took it away from Luka. Saves it all the way into half court. Iguodala.
And the start of this one.
Lob pass goes off the backboard. It was intended for Powell, but Luka's lob went off the backboard. Turnover. Kendrick Nunn. Robinson from that corner where he's missed a couple of times already in the third quarter. To Nunn, who hits from the right wing.
You're right. You're right.
If you've got a personal auto insurance question, you could talk to a cab driver. Although the policies he recommends might include avoiding the interstate, beating traffic by taking the back roads, and only making left turns when absolutely necessary. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, whose policy is to use their expertise to navigate your insurance, finding the best route to help you save money on insurance for your home, car, and more. And as an added bonus, you'll be able to avoid traffic jams and potholes entirely. To find a GEICO agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is Whataburger's Honey Barbecue Chicken Strip Sandwich a work of art? The three chicken strips covered in melted Monterey Jack are a study in contrast and surprise. And the honey barbecue sauce, while at first unexpected, becomes a sweet delight to the senses. Plus, there's the two thick slices of Texas toast that are the canvas for this tasteful creation. And you can eat it. Good thing there's a masterpiece you can really bite into. Good thing there's the Honey Barbecue Chicken Strip Sandwich at Whataburger.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Freddie Mac Multifamily Podcast brings together industry leaders to talk through current issues and important housing trends. Hear from our hosts and their expert guests by searching Freddie Mac Multifamily wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a hamburger. And this, friends, is a Whataburger. A fresh 100% beef patty so big it can only fit on a 5-inch bun. Oh, there's another. Someone's going for a double. Maybe it'll be topped with melted cheese and, oh my goodness, grilled onions and grilled jalapenos. I'm not sure the speakers can handle any more sizzle. Good thing you can do more than just hear the difference. Good thing there's Whataburger.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, a big special thank you to David Ramil, the host of the Locked On Heat podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering all things Miami Heat and also a featured columnist for the website The Step Back and a contributor at Forbes Sports. He's also a member of the Pro Basketball Writers Association. Check out the Locked On Heat podcast for all of your news pertaining to the Miami Heat. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the I'm out. Peace.
This is your butt. There are many things you can do with your butt. Your butt can make you a winner. You can use your butt to salvage. If you insist on sitting, at least take your butt around the block. At night, your butt can get you moving.
Nice butt.
Whatever you do with your butt, get off it.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. It's hit movies, current shows, live sports, trending bits, and timeless hits. And that's why you can't not watch Peacock. Watch for free, upgrade for more. Stream now at peacocktv.com. Law & Order SVU streaming now.
On a nursing school waitlist? Findnursingschool.com can help.
If you have non-nursing college credit, we can connect you with admissions from accelerated nursing programs nationwide. Search findnursingschools.com.